You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You are now listening to the Dynasty Rewind.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dynasty Rewind. I'm your host, Michael Bauer, the best in business. Once again, back in business, joined as always by my faithful co-host, Nate the Professor Christian. Nate, good evening.
Good evening, Mike. I want to start off with an apology. A couple weeks ago, I said that I had a flannel that was Pendleton. That was incorrect. This is actually the Pendleton flannel, so I just want to make that known. You know, for our podcast listeners, you get to watch.
Did anybody call you out on that?
No.
Okay.
Great. But I felt bad.
Okay. Well, you want to avoid any sort of tragedies like that, just like you want to buy, sell, and avoid certain players. And that's what we're going to be getting into tonight. So, Nate, I know you love some avoiding, some selling, if you will. Mm-hmm. I'm a big hold guy right now. But, you know, I will say at this time of the year, I think you can make a case for buying and selling most players.
You can make a case for anything in this time of the year. Yeah, you really can.
I'm also a big avoid guy as well. I want to just say that. You know, it's just if you have a hard time projecting an outcome for a player, positive or negative, you could just stay away. That's the good thing about this game. You don't have to roster a player. You don't have to acquire a player unless, you know, you don't have to sell them unless, of course, you inherit a roster that has that player on it. But let's get into it. Nate, he's been a source of, I don't want to say contention, but discussion this offseason. What are we doing with current Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins?
Yeah, you know, there's a big question mark there because is he going to stay a Bengal? Is he going to be moving to another location? You know, we talked about, you know, is T. Higgins the new wide receiver one for Bryce Young and the Panthers maybe? Is there a trade going to happen there? Well, they went out and got Deontay Johnson. So that wide receiver one role has been filled. How many other wide receiver one roles are left in the NFL at this point for T. Higgins to go into?
New England needs a new wide England, receiver.
Does that really excite you, right? No. So, you know, maybe at this point, it's best for him to stay in the same place. You know what's going to happen there with Cincinnati. We've seen what he can do. You know, I think we can expect more of the same. Tyler Boyd has not found a home yet, as far as I believe, but he's not on the Bengals right now. So whether that's Charlie Jones or Yoshivis backing him, Higgins and Chase are the one and two there as long as Higgins is there. So we know what we're going to get out of Higgins. Right now, I'm holding on to T. Higgins because if he stays in the Bengals, I know what I'm getting. I'm happy with that. I think we're getting a really good wide receiver two with some wide receiver one upside. If he goes somewhere else, I think we're getting pretty much the same with possibly more upside. So right now, I don't have any reason to sell him. I don't think his value is in a place where you can sell him and get like really good value on him right now. Like taking a look at Keep Trade Cut, he's currently the wide receiver 20. So like at that value, I'm just holding. I don't necessarily want to buy either because there is some unknown there. And I like the guys around him as well, rather equally. You get some young studs around him, like, you know, Addison and Tank Dell, guys like that. So right now, for me, like where his value is and with what we have coming up, stronghold for me.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, looking at their depth chart, kind of need T. Higgins for a wide receiver. I mean, of course, you have Jamar Chase. But if you didn't have T. Higgins, there's a lot of unknowns and a lot of unprovens. Of course, I'm sure they'll pick someone up in the draft I am also kind of surprised that Tyler Boyd's still a free agent. I thought he would be one, I don't want to say premier free agent signings for a team, but a higher level free agent that would have had a job by now. It's not like he's that old or anything like that. But you know, here we are. It is March 26th when we're recording this. By the time you listen to this tomorrow morning, he could have a team. You never know. Things happen overnight too. That being said, I'm also holding T. Higgins. Hey, look, the grass isn't always greener. We know what it is right now. T. Higgins, give me him with a healthy Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase on the other side. Sign me up. Like we talked about, Tyler Boyd, not there yet. So the wide receiver three competition, okay? I'm just talking targets, not the actual positioning on the field. It's Charlie Jones or Andre Yoshivas, Trent Irwin, even though Yoshivas plays behind Ja'Marr Chase technically, so he might not get as many targets. But, you know, right now Trent and Irwin's in the starting slot role. I don't know. They really don't – Mike Gesicki's there, but Mike Gesicki's been kind of a disappointment. Drew Sample's back. By the way, Travion Williams still on the roster. Remember when he was a thing when he got drafted? Like, people were pretty excited about Travion Williams for a while. But, yeah, and Nate, ask me about his yak rec.
What's his yak rec, man?
5.6 last year. Career is 4.3, and he has a career average depth of target of 12.4. That's playing with some backup quarterbacks, too. Joe Burrow has missed some time. So I'm holding T. Higgins for sure. I just think that right now that's a smart move. Question, though. What's a move that would, you know, what's an offer that would motivate you to sell T. Higgins?
Yeah, I think if I needed a running back and I could possibly move T. Higgins for Jonathan Taylor.
Okay.
They're valued similarly. I think you might have to add something on the T. Higgins to go get Jonathan Taylor. I think you might need to add like a second on the T. Higgins to go get Jonathan Taylor. But if you need a running back and you have some wide receiver depth, that's a move I would look to make. Maybe it's not Jonathan Taylor. Maybe it's, you know, Devon Achane or Travis Etienne if you need a running back. But I think T. Higgins, his value is enough where you can move him for a running back and get a pretty good one back. So I think that's where if you're going to move T. Higgins, I don't really want to move him within the wide receiver position with where his value is, but I don't mind moving across position with him.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next one. Nate, Zamir White, the current running back one. Hey. In Las Vegas, almost showed my age and said Oakland. Could have really showed my age and said Los Angeles. But he still has to outlast the NFL draft. I mean, this class kind of up and down with running backs. But let's put that aside. This guy that we know right now is locked in as the running back one. I understand that they signed Alexander Mattison, but we saw what he did with expanded opportunities in Minnesota. So, Nate, what are you doing here? It looks like we might be in some agreement.
Yeah, I think we're in some agreement here. Not worried at all about Alexander Mattison, just to be clear. Like, not worried at all. I'd be much more worried. I mean, not even that much more worried about, like, a day three prospect that they might be picking up.
I got to be honest with you. I think Alexander Mattison is a fantastic backup running back. And that's it. That's it. Five carries a game.
That's his limit.
And you know what he's going to do? Alexander Mattison drives dynasty managers crazy. If you look back through his career, and I'm sorry to cut you off here, but I just want to say this. He's a guy that when he has to come in and no one's expecting it, he explodes. Waiver wire acquisitions and redraft leagues, everybody wants to trade for him. And then when he's the guy, he just takes a giant dump on the field. So that's Alexander Mattison in the nutshell. Please continue.
Yeah, and after a couple of years of that and him getting older now and, you know, efficiency going down last year, I'm totally out on Alexander Mattison. So Zamir White, meanwhile, was efficient last year. And they just lost Josh Jacobs. Antonio Pierce was pretty upset about that. He made that known. But next guy up is Zamir White, who they trusted down the stretch last year when Josh Jacobs couldn't play. And, you know, if anything I've seen from Antonio Pierce as the head coach of this team is that he is very connected to his players. And Zamir White was on the roster last year. He trusted Zamir White when he was the head coach, the interim head coach, and it got him a job. So while the NFL is not one to necessarily be super loyal, I do think in this case, I think that loyalty means just a little bit more here. And I do believe that Zamir White is the starting running back for the Raiders this year. I don't think they're necessarily in a position to go draft a running back day two, nor is this draft class really in a great position for them to do that either. So I'm sure they'll add someone day three. But Zamir White was really good at the end of last year. And with his stats for the season, he was 16th among running backs with 50 carries or more in yards after contact per attempt, Mike, which is a really good stat. for showing us who are the better running backs in the league. Because sure, you can get what your offensive line can get you, but what can you do after that? And Zamir White has 3.21 yards after contact per attempt, which was 16th in the league, right above Jonathan Taylor and Bijan Robinson. So he looked really good at the end of the stretch last year. I'm about it. If I can move a guy like Alvin Kamara, who's going to be turning 29 at the end of the year, I would move Alvin Kamara for Zamir White. If I can move a 2025, like mid to late second round pick, you know, say like you're a contending team, move a 25 second for Zamir White. He's going to help you make that pick later. He's going to help you. You know, if he can be your RB3, I think he'd be in a really good spot.
And I think we should say that we're not expecting to buy him to be our team's running back one or a running back one in fantasy overall. So, but these are moves that are really helpful to a team, a guy who is a team's running back one, an NFL team, so you could plug and play. So I'm buying as well, because like I mentioned before, I don't think Madison's going to take many reps away from him. Only 121 career carries and 15 receptions. So unlike Josh Jacobs, his former teammate, he has plenty of tread on the tires, Nate. Plenty of it. You mentioned he finished the season strong last year. Weeks 15 to 18, here's how he finished up. 84 carries, 397 yards and a touchdown, 9 receptions, 60 yards and 1 touchdown. So that's a nice little stretch there for a few weeks. Not much overall in the receiving game. But check it out. Josh Jacobs, over his career in Oakland, had 254 targets. Okay, and 54 last year. I think the targets are going to be there for him. And he does pretty much with it, too. His ADOT is 0.2. All right, so barely passed the line as a scrimmage, but his yak rec is 6.1. So he's productive when he gets receptions. And, you know, buying, I'll do a late second. Evan Engram is a guy I would consider moving on from, but I would do Engram for White in a third, if you could get that. Zach Charbonnet, Jalen Warren, guys that I'd be happy to move on from. Guys in a timeshare that I think will not get as many touches as Zamir White will. So let's move on to the next. What's that?
I said I'm about it.
Nate's all about it. You should be too. Just like you should be all about the free trial of our Patreon, patreon.com/DynastyRewind, giving away a week because we're insane. let's talk about Indianapolis Colts wide receiver Josh Downs. Nate, we're old enough to remember when he was going by Joshua Downs. But what are you doing with Josh Downs? Buying, selling, holding, avoiding? Is it too early to give up? What are you doing?
Yeah, right now I'm holding and maybe I'm buying, because I went into this segment holding and then I looked up his value and was reading you know, some of his stats, and his value is a little low right now. So I also might be buying. I'll get to that. I think overall he's a little limited long-term with MPJ, Michael Pittman Jr. signing that long-term deal in Indianapolis. The way that he gets targeted in that offense, he is by far the wide receiver one in that offense. He had 150 targets last year, 9th in the league. And this is something we've seen with Michael Pittman Jr. over the years. He is always getting heavy volume. So with him being the obvious wide receiver one there for a while, Josh Downs in that PPR kind of player, he's a little bit more limited, because I'm also wondering about the overall volume of Anthony Richardson passing the ball. But outside of volume concerns, Josh Downs is a really, really good wide receiver. And he can create yards after the catch. They can use him close to the line of scrimmage, and he can be a really good wide receiver too for Anthony Richardson. And with that, I think there is still something to get with Josh Downs at his value right now, because you can get him for like Jamison Williams or Tony Pollard. And I feel much better about Josh Downs going forward than either one of those guys, especially if Anthony Richardson becomes what a lot of us hope Anthony Richardson becomes. If he reaches anywhere close to that ceiling, then I'm going to be all about the wide receiver two in Indianapolis. So there's that potential that's built in. And we even saw him have a, you know, a pretty good rookie year, Mike, if I say so myself. Gardner Minshew was throwing the ball, but he had a pretty good rookie year. I think there is room for improvement. And who knows? Once Anthony Richardson gets in that offense, anything could happen. So a hold, a buy for those prices right now.
And we should be concerned about Anthony Richardson supporting more than one wide receiver. Look at his attempts here. He played 4 games last year, 37 attempts in week one, then 10 attempts. He was inactive, 25 attempts, 12.
I believe he left that second game early.
Yeah, but still, we're seeing a lot of injuries piling up.
It's not a lot of game time for Anthony Richardson, someone I've said for a while.
We do need to be concerned, and that's why you know, people groan about guys like Gardner Minshew. They groan about guys like Kirk Cousins. The fact of the matter is these guys stay relatively healthy. I understand Kirk Cousins was hurt last year, but look at what Josh Downs did with Gardner Minshew. Did you give the stat line out, Nate? Sorry, I was looking something.
No, you got it.
68 receptions for 771 yards and two touchdowns as a rookie with a backup quarterback. So he played 81.3% of his snaps in the slot. I think he's going to be a dedicated slot receiver. And to be honest with you, I'm holding because I think in this offense with Anthony Richardson, Josh Downs is better than Alec Pierce, my opinion.
Absolutely.
You know, it's going to be Michael Pittman Jr., Joshua Downs, everybody else. Yep. That's what I think it's going to be. So I'm holding there as well.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Nate, let's get back into it and let's talk about the scapegoat from last year's draft. What are we doing with Los Angeles Chargers wide receiver Quentin Johnston?
Yeah, you know, he's like the last man standing at this point. You know, Mike Williams is gone. Keenan Allen's gone. There's Josh Palmer and there's Quentin Johnston, Mike.
Love
Josh. And, you know, I'm not buying back into Quentin Johnston. I said on this podcast like 2 months ago, I laid out at some point this offseason, Quentin Johnston's going to be a post-hype sleeper. And I told you to not buy into it. Whenever it happens, don't believe the hype. And it hasn't quite happened yet. Quentin Johnston's value is still rather low, but it has increased over the past 2 months as we get excited about, oh, look at all this room to fill. Well, naturally, Quentin Johnston's going to fill it, right? No, I don't think so. I think the Chargers are going to go wide receiver in the draft, whether it's at pick five or somewhere later. They're definitely going to bring in some more competition to that wide receiver spot. They cannot be happy with what Quentin Johnston showed last year. Josh Palmer is a very good wide receiver, but he has 1 year left on his deal. So they need to retool that wide receiver room after getting rid of the guys they got rid of, and they will. So with that, there's going to be competition coming from Quentin Johnston. He didn't show me anything last year that he's going to rise to the occasion and be the top dog there. So I'm looking to avoid. I'm looking to sell if I still have him. With his value going up a little bit, maybe you can move him for, if you need a quarterback, Derek Carr. I know it's not a sexy name, but Derek Carr is locked into the Saints for the next 2 years. If you can move Quentin Johnston and get a starting quarterback for the next 2 years in Superflex, like even if he's your quarterback three, just having that safety blanket is going to do a lot more for your team than Quentin Johnston will. Yeah. If you want to make a lateral move to a different wide receiver, Marvin Mims is around the same value as Quentin Johnston right now. Also, Jacoby Myers, who I'm going to talk about in a different podcast, but I like as a buy low.
Yeah, well, you've liked Jacoby Myers.
I always like Jacoby.
So, yeah, I love that. I'm avoiding Quentin Johnston. I know that might come as a shock to some. I'd prefer to sell, but realistically, what are we getting? I mean, I think the trades that you proposed here are pretty fair, but they're not always possible. So I'd sell if I could, but most likely I'll be avoiding. I would rather take a shot on Jalin Hyatt, who's cheaper, to be honest with you. You want to talk about, hey, look, if your argument for Quentin Johnston is he's all they have, you could say the same thing about the New York Giants wide receiver core too, because it's bad.
Wandale, come on.
Yeah, I understand Wandale, but, he hasn't really shown me much either. So I think Los Angeles drafts a wide receiver. Right now, the Chargers wide receiver I want and I'm holding on to is Josh Palmer, not Quentin Johnston. I don't know what this offense is going to look like under John Harbaugh, but check it out. I did some digging because I love the people that watch and listen to this podcast. Thank you. So if we want to get a quarterback that is similar to Justin Herbert's skill set, I went back to 2011 when John Harbaugh was the coach of the 49ers and Alex Smith was under center. Alex Smith, another guy who got a lot of hate. Alex Smith was another guy that threw for a lot of yards, didn't throw a lot of interceptions, and supported a lot of wide receivers and tight ends in fantasy football. So put some respect in the man's name.
Oh, Kirk Cousins-esque.
Yes. Yes, you're right. Also, stop badgering Kirk Cousins for the money he's made in his career. Smart if man. They offer me more money at my job, I'm going to take it. I'm not going to say no. I suck here. I don't, by the way, but you understand what I'm saying. Anyway, I went back to 2011 when Harbaugh was coaching the Niners. Alex Smith is under center. Their leading wide receiver was Michael Crabtree, 72 catches, 874 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And to me, that is the Josh Palmer role, not Quentin Johnston. Honorable mention to Vernon Davis, who went 67 for 792 and 6.
In your former Terp.
Former Terp, that's right. Just like Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
So
and Torrey Smith.
Torrey Smith, yeah.
Don't forget Torrey.
Former Eagle. Yeah, Torrey Smith. Hey, Torrey Smith played a nice role on the 2017 Eagles. They weren't going to re-sign. I think they did like a re-sign and flip. They flipped him for like a fourth-round pick, and then he did nothing in Carolina. So they definitely made out. Howie gonna Howie. So, but yeah, so we're selling slash avoiding QJ. But you know what, Quentin? Prove me wrong, man. Seriously, if he proves me wrong and has a great year and gives me a reason to be back in, I'll be back in. Until then, sayonara. But, Nate, let's move on and let's talk about what we are doing with Minnesota Vikings tight end TJ Hockenson, quarterback option Sam Darnold. And everyone keeps saying J.J. McCarthy until it happens, but until it happens, it hasn't happened. So right now, we know Sam Darnold is a starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. Do we love a tight end with Sam Darnold or a rookie quarterback? ACL tear, late last year, only 26 years old. Nate, talk to me. What are you doing?
I'm selling, Mike. I'm selling. It's not because I don't like T.J. Hockenson. I love T.J. Hockenson. Like you said, he's still only 26 years old. And he's one of the best in the league. But if I'm a competitive team, and I probably am if I had T.J. Hockenson on my team, then T.J. Hockenson is probably not helping me out the way I want him to this year. And sure, I could hold on to him so I have him for next year, and I just am emotionally invested into T.J. Hockenson. But is that really the best move for my team, the best move that helps me get set up for a championship run? Probably not. So I need to make a lateral move. And T.J. Hockenson's value is still pretty high. So I would say a hold, but with his value being still pretty high coming off his injury and having the question marks at quarterback, as well as pretty good competition for targets, I'm going to sell. Because right now, I want to go after a guy like Dalton Kincaid, Mark Andrews, maybe the first round pick that is Brock Bowers. You know, those three players, I would rather have any of those three over T.J. Hockenson right now going into this season. I understand. Some people might argue with Dalton Kincaid. I know I've seen some Dalton Kincaid hate out there on the timeline.
I have two, which I don't understand.
I don't really get it. I don't like were people not paying attention for the past year or last year's draft process or anything like that.
I do get it. And here's what it is. He was the tight end one last year, a late tight end one, mind you. He blossomed late towards the end of the process. And then he didn't do exactly what everybody expected him to do. So we hate him now.
You know, I saw a tweet. He actually had pretty similar stats to Sam Laporta over the second half of the season, just like 8 less touchdowns. That might have to do something with it. But Dalton Kincaid, Mark Andrews, Brock Bowers, I'd rather have those guys. They're going to do, you know, Brock Bowers, I don't know what he's going to do this year, but you get Brock Bowers, so you're pretty happy with that. But Mark Andrews, Dalton Kincaid, I think both those guys are going to do more for me this year than T.J. Hockenson, and I value them pretty much the same long term. So I might as well make that move over to someone that's going to produce for me this year. And I feel more confident about this year, has less question marks than hold on to T.J. Hockenson just because I'm a big fan, you know?
Yeah. And I agree with you. You basically have all the same stuff I do. The only thing I could say is if you were contending last year and, you know, maybe you stashed Hock and you got another tight end, like somehow you figured out a way to get Kelsey or Laporta or Jake Ferguson, somebody that's still really productive and a guy that, okay, well, they're healthy. I can rely on them. And you take that mid first and you turn it into Roma Dunze or something like that. You're still going to be winning, but I'm all on board with grabbing a Dalton Kincaid, grabbing Mark Andrews. If you can get Brock Bowers too. And you know what, let's say you keep Hock, like I said, in the other scenario and you pair them with, Hock and Bowers, that would be fantastic. I did see a mock where Brock Bowers gets drafted by the Eagles. As an Eagles fan, I'd be a fan of that. As a fantasy football fan, I would not be a fan It's one of those things. Great spot for fantasy eventually, but not right now. Dallas Goedert's not going anywhere for a little bit. Nate, let's do a versus before we leave.
Okay.
All right, so let's do – people have talked about these two guys, and I get it. They're fantastic wide receivers. Garrett Wilson versus Chris Olave. So basically, who we'd rather have and why. I mean, we're splitting hairs here. But for reference, currently Garrett Wilson, wide receiver 7 on Keep Trade Cut, and Chris Olave, wide receiver 11. So the gap isn't massive here, but there is a gap. Let's talk about it. Nate, what are you doing?
That is a good question. I'm picking Garrett Wilson here. So I'm going to buy/hold Garrett Wilson.
It's close, though, right?
I unfortunately have to sell/avoid Chris Olave. It's very, very close.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, if you can get one at a much less cheaper price, I totally get that argument. But yeah. Mike, I believe in the upside of Garrett Wilson a bit more than the upside of Chris Olave. Just throwing some stats out there, because at the end of the day, we are splitting hairs here. We have two very good wide receivers who are young, who should be wide receiver ones for the team moving forward. You really can't go wrong with either one of these guys.
Right.
But to play the Garrett Wilson side here, because spoiler alert, you're playing the Chris Olave side. Here's the stats I have, Mike. Missed tackles forced. This one was huge to me. Okay. Chris Olave in his career has 6 missed tackles forced.
Interesting.
Garrett Wilson has 41.
Oh.
It's not even close. So what Garrett Wilson can do after the catch, and this is, mind you, he's not being put in great positions for creating yards after the catch by his quarterback, but he's still making people miss. He's able to create those yards after the catch. So even with having terrible quarterback play, he's still been productive because of what he can do after the catch. Chris Olave, while he can certainly create a lot of yards after the catch because he's often in position where he has room to run, he's not necessarily going to make a lot of people miss. Now, talking about having room to run after the catch, yak wreck, Mike, I know this is one of your favorite stats, so I made sure to put it in here. And Garrett Wilson's yak wreck career is 4 yak wreck. Okay. Last year was 4.7, was career year for him. Chris Olave, 3.6, has not been above 4 yak wreck so far in his short career. So once again, showing Garrett Wilson just does a little bit more after the catch than Chris Olave. We look at the targets. Look, Chris Olave has had a pretty good amount of targets as well, but Garrett Wilson just continues to dominate volume over there with the Jets, and has Aaron Rodgers coming in this year, healthy, hopefully. 163 targets last year, Mike, with no good quarterback play. And Mike Williams is now his wide receiver competition. How many games do you think Mike Williams is going to play in 2024?
17.
I highly doubt that. So what is the wide receiver competition for Wilson? I know you could also make a similar argument for Olave. He doesn't have a lot of competition either with Michael
Thomas. I'm looking at it right now. And
leaving. Not that Michael Thomas was much competition the last 2 years there anyway.
Yeah, but Michael Thomas played pretty decent last year. I think he surprised the field.
It was pretty solid. I think he ended up being like wide receiver like 38 or something like that on a points per game basis when he was actually on the field. So yeah, thank you, Mike. You can check that on Player Profiler, which is where we get some of our stats.
Oh, I was going to Fantasy Pros.
That too. No, you gotta go on a points per game basis. That's on Player Profiler.
Fine.
It's kind of annoying. They don't show the yearly finish. They only show points per game. So that's where I have to go to look for points per game. And speaking of points per game, Garrett Wilson, last 2 years, he was wide receiver 32 last year, wide receiver 30 the year before that, his rookie season. So obviously the production has not been there. And this is where Chris Olave beats him. Because Chris Olave last year was wide receiver 19 in points per game, and the year before that, wide receiver 25. But what I want to point out here is Garrett Wilson has been a top 30, 32 wide receiver with this terrible quarterback player the last 2 years. I think with Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback this year, even if it's the corpse of Aaron Rodgers, it's an upgrade over what he's had. And I think Garrett Wilson has the opportunity to be a top 12 wide receiver. I think with Chris Olave, I think we know what we're getting with Chris Olave at this point. I think this is his realm. It's going to be a mid wide receiver too. He's going to fit right into that little, you know, nice tier of wide receivers where we had DJ Moore for a couple of years. You know, he has some wide receiver one finishes on a week-to-week basis, but overall, you know you're getting a really good wide receiver too. And that's how I feel about Chris Olave. I think Garrett Wilson just has that little bit of extra ability that gets him into that upside to be a top 12 wide receiver at the end of the season. So that's why I'm going Garrett Wilson here. And a trade I would make to buy Garrett Wilson right now is, can I trade Marquise Brown, say the 109 and a second round pick to go get Garrett Wilson? I would make that trade. Maybe I get a third round pick on back just so I'm not losing three assets for one. And then if I'm selling Chris Olave, because I've backed myself into a corner here and I have to do that, I'm hoping to get a top seven pick in this coming draft, because I would like to replace Chris Olave with one of Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, or one of those quarterbacks I might need.
So we might have been wrong about Michael Thomas a little bit. 9 fantasy points per game, 448 yards, but he did only play until week 10. Then he was inactive the rest of the season, and he was wide receiver 75 on season 8.
Not on a points per game basis, though, right?
Well, how do you find that?
I don't think you were listening to me, Mike. He was wide receiver 52. So
wide receiver 52. Forgive me. Here's your 23 wide receiver spots back. There it is. I see it right there. So, he hasn't really been much since 2019. I don't know if he signs anywhere or not.
And then 2020 in a startup draft, I drafted him like third overall in a one quarterback.
Yeah.
And he just never played for me, basically.
At the time, that was the pick to make, to be honest with you.
The consensus pick. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it goes, man. That's why at the Dynasty Rewind, we strive to go against consensus. I'm buying Chris Olave and I'm selling Garrett Wilson here. And this, you know, look, Olave appears to be slightly more productive with less targets. Garrett Wilson, 315. Chris Olave, 257. Olave has better yards per reception and touchdowns, 13.6 to 12.1, 9 to 7. Olave with the better yak rec career-wise, ADOT, and contested catch percentage, 4.1 to 3.4, 13.9 to 10.6. And that contested catch percentage, see, that's why he doesn't need to do a lot after the catch, because he gets ready to catch point, 40 to 29.7. Also, both of them, you know, you're talking about competition in the wide receiver room. I would say, however, Mike Williams is better competition than Cedric Wilson, Rashid Shaheed, A.T. Perry, and Stanley Morgan. Garrett Price, rise up. Stanley Morgan is on an NFL roster. Who do we got over there?
Is Mike Williams really that much better than Rashid Shaheed?
Yes, he is. And over in New York, we got Mike Williams, Xavier Gibson, and then Alan Lazard, and some other guys that should be in the UFL.
Some other guys that Aaron Rodgers likes for some reason and just gets them roster spots because they're best buddies.
Exactly, which must be nice to be friends. You're
going to see MVS there soon. Who knows?
You're going to see who?
MVS. No, I'm sure Rodgers hates him for how many times he dropped the ball.
Where's Randall Cobb at? I'm surprised he's not on the roster.
Yeah, where's Randall?
Wasn't he there last year? He was. He was a cap casualty, it says here. So, but yeah, back to what I'm doing. So, you can buy him for like a 25 first. I saw a couple trades go through for that. Probably wouldn't get it done for me right now. A mid to late 24 first, you know, you could sell Garrett Wilson for an early-ish 24 first, like the 104, I think, because the hype is real. And Garrett Wilson, I want to see Garrett Wilson explode. I want to see Chris Olave explode. These guys are two wide receivers that I like a lot. So we'll see what happens. But that's going to wrap it up for us. Forgive me. So until next time, everybody, Nate, I'm Mike. Thanks for listening. All right, everyone, that is going to do it for us this week. But if you're headed to a game, make sure you check out SeatGeek.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things live events. It offers the best price available. Use the promo code DynastyRewind. You'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Don't forget, if you want to play some best ball, head on over to Underdog. It's the easiest buy-in in fantasy football. And it's not having to worry about setting your lineups, man. That's what it's all about. So again, underdog.com. Use the promo code REWIND. A 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. Visit our store over at payhip.com/DynastyRewind. That's where you find our roster reviews. That's where you find all of our manuals and everything like that. Head on over there now. Grab some merch at spreadshop.com. Link is down below. And we want to see you in our community. And that is patreon.com/DynastyRewind. But until next time, everybody, for my faithful co-hosts, Chev Nooney and Nate Christian, I'm your host, Michael Bauer. Be kind, please rewind. Thank you for listening.